A niner.
Welcome to Drive Through HR, Brian William and Nisha, I can't even talk, coming to you live every single day talking about HR with people out there getting it done. So let's get to our guest. Mike, welcome to Drive Through HR.
Thank you, guys. Happy New Year. Glad to be on your show. Thanks, Nisha, for tapping me. It's quite an honor to be on a well-known blog talk radio show, and you guys are doing it, man.
Well, I couldn't agree more with you. You're now my official favorite guest right there as of 24 of the year, in fact. You win that, the coveted favorite guest of the year. So, well, Mike, introduce yourself to our lovely family of listeners, and we'll roll into our big question after that.
Sure, absolutely. Hey, everybody, it's Mike Chwedien, a.k.a. The Rad Recruiter, just here in Harrisburg. I actually just started a new position with Modus, currently a senior IT recruiter here, and, love what I do, love sneakers, love DJing, and love sourcing, too. I've actually gotten to be a really, really big student here the last several months. So,
awesome. Well, Animal has already asked the question, and it's go slow and help us pronounce your name. So, like John Nicolaisian actually helped Brian and I years ago when he said, "Listen, you could buy a vowel with my last name, but here's the deal: it's Nicolaisian. You just say it really fast, Nicolaisian." and that really helped John and I. So, Animal, most pressing question we got right now, it's a slow Thursday, but most pressing question we have right now is the pronunciation of your last name so that no one messes that up.
Sure, it's Chwedien. So it's pretty simple. I mean, I know there's some people that get it right, some people that hack it, but, for the most part, it's all good. I know it's kind of a challenging name, but it's an easy name to pronounce. When you get to know what the pronunciation is, so.
Yeah, well, I get, tin cup, right? So I get teacup, I get tea kettle, I get gold cup. I get, like, every other combination, I'm like, really? It's tin cup.
Tea
seriously.
Is a good one.
Yeah.
Right.
Tea cup? No, not tea
bag.
Cup.
Tea bag.
Tin cup, yeah. Yeah, I've gotten that one, too. That almost drew a couple fist fights. so it's like, really? Tin cup, two of the easiest words in the English language. How retarded do you have to be? So, all right, so what's keeping you up at night, Mike? What's top of mind for you these days?
Man. I think for me it's sourcing. A year ago I started this thing where I really got heavily into Twitter, and I just started, like, tweeting like a madman, and I started, following guys like the both of you and Lori Ruddiman and all these people, Animal, being one of my, one of my first few followers, first followings, I should say. But what's keeping me up at night? I think, for the last several months, it's been for me trying to get more recs to recruit on, and that was just kind of like the so that's kind of where my sourcing, I guess you could say, love for sourcing came in, and I just really, like, put my head to the ground and just started learning a lot from guys like Glenn Caffey and Irina Shmeva. For me, I think for the past, I'd say, year the start of like 2012, maybe the middle of 2012, I was really heavily into like kind of branding myself and stuff. And I just kind of grew out of it. You know, people started coming to me for advice and stuff, which is cool. You know, I find that kind of, you know, it's for me, it's enjoyable for me. I love talking to people. I think, you know, when you're in recruiting, you know, talking to people is at the forefront. It's kind of like the foundation of, you know, what we do as recruiters is talk to people and help them, right? So, but, you know, what's really keeping me up at night, I guess it was just kind of like kind of with the last company that I was with, I had a big concern of, you know, kind of wrecks and stuff and, you know, not having enough to recruit on, right? Because when you have two bad wrecks, doesn't give you much chance to make placements, right? So, you know, for the past probably like, you know, better part of 9 months, you know, I've just been kind of putting my feelers out there. And, you know, I finally landed here at Modus, which has a really healthy amount of recs for me to recruit on and have a chance to make money. I mean, that's what, for me, it's all about, and it's all about helping people better their careers, you know. So, you know, so that's kind of what's been keeping me up at night. But now that I'm in a good place, you know, I'll be able to make some things happen, hopefully. So,
awesome. Hey, tell us about Modus real quick. For those that don't kind of understand the gig, tell us kind of what Modus does, and then
sure.
Even within that, where you operate within Modus.
Sure. So Modus is a sub of Adecco. So as you know, Adecco is one of the largest staffing companies in the world. Currently, Modus has about 70 offices nationwide, and we specialize in IT recruiting, which is, you know, kind of my forte. So that's what Modus does. I'm currently here in the Harrisburg, Pennsylvania office. You know, it's the tech hub of the world, if you didn't know by now. I'm just kidding, but you know, it's a tough market out here, you know, because, you know, there's, you know, not too many tech guys want to gravitate out here. You know, I used to work in Baltimore. I used to work the Baltimore DC area, and it's a lot more. The market out there is a lot larger for IT professionals, you know. So coming in here and you know, trying to make an impact and helping this office grow and get more placements and place more people, that's what it's about for me. So
very cool. Tell us I want to get into a little of the sourcing stuff. So along the way, you
yep.
found some cool tools, some cool tricks. So if
yep.
you were handed Brian handed you a rec today. Brian's, you know, heavily involved in, let's say, some social IT stuff. How would you handle that? How would you just got handed the rec, you just kind of called the hiring manager, vetted the position, et cetera. What are your first five actions that you're going to do from a sourcing perspective? What does that look like?
Sure. I think it's getting to know what the position really is and having an understanding of that. I think a lot of recruiters make the mistake of going by the job description and just plugging in keywords. So, you know, for me, it's about really understanding the position, what that position entails, you know, and, you know, aside from the skills, you know, what type of person is the hiring manager really looking for in terms of a culture fit or maybe, you know, from a departmental view, you know, how's that person going to fit personality-wise into the team? You know, because there may be some commonalities within a department that the team will share, and which makes them, you know, which makes the synergy of the department run really well. So, so after that, you know, after doing that, the initial research, you know, I tap everything, you know. Obviously, LinkedIn is a big one. Actually, it was cool because I was looking at I follow Glenn Cathy religiously, And he's just a brilliant mind when it comes to like Boolean and searching and sourcing and things like that. And he uses a method called Agile Sourcing Method, you know, within LinkedIn. And I've utilized that quite a bit. To really help me kind of look outside the box and be able to call on people that, you know, other recruiters wouldn't normally do. So I'll use that, and just various, social media platforms. I think for me, it's about calling people, right? So, I get a lot of my leads from people that I've networked with, people that I might find on a Boolean search using Google or Bing or there's some other great, search engines that are cool. Like I use DuckDuckGo. ExitLead's another one. Million Shorts, another one. So there's just a ton of sourcing tools out there that you can use.
I'm sorry, Mike. I've come on a little bit of a delay.
Your
take on communities. So the GitHub community and Stack Overflow and kind of going into the tributaries where talent, plays by itself, if you will. What's your take on all of that?
Yeah, so with GitHub and Stack Overflow, these are great resources for IT recruiters, obviously, especially on the development side. But I think the thing with a lot of people ask me too, how do you source from GitHub and Stack Overflow? Well, the thing about these sites is that you have to kind of build a general trust with kind of the users, right, and the members of those sites. It takes time to kind of develop relationships with those guys and kind of gain your trust because, I don't want to go in and fake, myself as an IT guy or an up-and-coming like Java developer or .NET developer. I want to go in there and let them know, hey, I'm a recruiter, but I'm not here to spam you jobs all day long. That's not what I'm here to. I'm here to learn from you guys so that it can better my recruitment and my my recruitment and interviewing processes, right? So that's what it's in it for me. So once you kind of establish that relationship with those guys, it's about some of these guys may not be open to newer opportunities, but they may know people. They know people. That's just the kind of the nature of networking, right? So I think that's kind of key with those sites. It's not kind of like a hey, I'm going to go search GitHub and Stack Overflow and find a guy. It doesn't work that way. So for those sites, it's about building the relationships, and it's kind of like that on LinkedIn as well within the groups and stuff. I mean, I wrote a blog once, for radrecruiter.com, and I kind of went into this rant about recruiters going on in these groups and spamming the hell out of the feed within the group, and particularly .NET group that I was with, which I wrote about, there are just so many recruiters that just don't get it. If I was to give advice to recruiters who are joining these groups, don't go in with the intention of, I want to sell you a job, right? I want to go in with the intention of, I want to learn from you guys so I can better my my interviewing process and ask better questions, more articulate and intelligent questions. So that's what they should be going in. And then, right, once you kind of gain their trust and they say, okay, this guy's kind of cool, he's, he really wants to learn about the technologies, it's that's what should be in it for you as a recruiter. And then network and say, hey, just reach out to them and say, hey, I have an opportunity. If you know anybody, just, feel free to let them know and give them my info or whatever. So that for me is there's a lot of value in that rather than you know, going on and spamming your jobs, you know, which is, gosh, that is one freaking thing I hate the most. Big pet peeve.
Let's back up to the sourcing knowledge. So when you started kind of going down that path, for those that, you know, have to go down the similar path, where did you start? Like, what type of blogs? Where did you go? And people that you would follow? Like, where? How did you start your journey? I'm really looking for the tributaries, the greatest information, et cetera.
Sure. So, you know, as we all know that, you know, sourcing is the foundation of recruiting. Because if you can't source people, you won't be able to recruit. That's just, you know, that's just a general rule of thumb. So back in February of 2013, I attended SourceCon, my first major conference that I ever went to, and will be attending. I'm kind of working out details for this February in Atlanta. I'm supposed to be DJing SourceCon After Dark, so I'm still kind of working out details. But, you know, SourceCon was really the conference that kind of opened my eyes to, man, there's just so much information out there in how to mine people and mine data. So, you know, the resources that are available to you if you go to that conference is just, it's second to none. It's just tremendous. I've met some really, really cool people, at SourceCon, and to this day, I still keep in touch with them. And, you know, if I needed help on sourcing, I'm not afraid to reach out and ask them, hey, give me a string for, you know, for a .NET developer, or give me a string for a SharePoint developer, and that's how I learn from people. You know, I think for me, learning is every day for me, getting to know kind of the different, you know, tools and technologies and ways you can source. I mean, that just kind of like, you know, ever since I attended my first SourceCon, that was the end all be all conference for me. I think if you're a recruiter, and if there's any conference that you can go to, it should definitely be SourceCon. So that would be my advice. And I want to get to some SHRM conferences too, and I just love the networking aspect of it, right? And getting different thoughts and ideas and stuff. But I think SourceCon is definitely a must conference for recruiters.
I want to get your take on LinkedIn Recruiter. So, you know, you talk to any, you know, great recruiter that uses the product, they say, you know, the product is the best on the market. It's also extremely expensive. You know, is there a backlash in your mind to LinkedIn Recruiter? Do you think it's overpriced? Do you know, just give us just your general take on the products that are available to you via LinkedIn.
Yeah, so I've used LinkedIn Recruiter before, and I think it's a wonderful tool. I think it's a really wonderful tool, and I think for the cost, it's, you know, for someone like, you know, if you're an independent recruiter, obviously you won't, I mean, unless you're pulling in, you know, $30,000, $50,000 fees every month, you know, it's worth it. But, you know, it is expensive. That's kind of the con to it. I think the pro to it is you know, the reach is tremendous, you know, and you could do cool things with it, like, the mass email, function on it, that, you know, you could create, you know, recruiting projects on it. You know, that's, I think LinkedIn Recruiter is great. But, you know, again, I think for sourcing methods, I don't think you really need LinkedIn Recruiter. I think if you go out there and do the research and kind of learn how to really, really recruit on LinkedIn without, you know, paying the fees for LinkedIn Recruiter and kind of like the sub products of that, you know, I advise you to kind of, you know, check out Glenn Caffey because he's so good at it. You know what I mean? And you know, there's other resources too. You know, so, you know, in terms of like LinkedIn, I don't even have a LinkedIn recruiter account. I used to use it not too long ago, and it's a great tool. It's just expensive. You know what I mean? I think you can do a lot with a free account if you know how to work it. But you gotta learn it. You know what I mean? It's not just kind of an overnight thing of you know, really, really deep searches on LinkedIn. That's something that recruiters kind of, you know, need to do instead of just plugging in simple keywords in the search bar. So that's really not good use of, you know, sourcing methods. So.
Nice. Let's pivot and ask some recruiting questions. First question is around rapport. What's your tips and tricks-ish to build rapport with candidates?
Sure. So I think it starts with kind of your reputation as a recruiter. But again, you know, there are a lot of recruiters that don't know me. I mean, I would say like 99.9% of the people that I'm trying to recruit don't know who I am. It's about getting to know them at first. So if I call a candidate, I don't like going off the resume and asking what they're, I like to go over kind of general things about kind of their experience, but I don't like to go too deep into it. You know, I like to kind of establish a personal relationship with them. So, you know, for candidates, it's about building their trust in you. They need to trust you with their careers in your hands. And they're trusting you to, you know, bring them the best opportunity possible, which is my job, you know? So I think it's really important for us as recruiters to not treat candidates as, you know, a dollar sign, right? You really have to be kind of vested in them. And that's how you build relationships too, because, you know, if a candidate had a really, really good experience with you, but you weren't able to place that person, but, you know, they developed a really good, you know, kind of working relationship with you, I guarantee you 9 times out of 10, they're probably going to refer you to a friend or a colleague or whatnot. And that just goes a long way. It really does. And that's kind of like the magic of networking, right? So, you know, you really, really have to be mindful of, you know, who you're dealing with and that, you know, you're going to be challenged at times, but I think for the most part, you really need to really have, you know, vested your interest in them in kind of forwarding their career. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Let's see. Are you an advocate for the candidate or an advocate for the company?
I'm an advocate for both because, you know, obviously I'm a reflection of my company, right? So I kind of have to represent them in the best light possible. And when I'm presenting a candidate, I have to present my candidate in the best light possible. So, you know, I'm an advocate for both.
All right. That's good. That's good. Worst candidate experience that you've had?
Oh man, gosh, I've run through the gamut of them. Trying to think when my last bad candidate was. Oh man, I had this guy, really, really quickly. So I was recruiting for a VP of software engineering. The company was located in West Virginia. My candidate was located in Arizona. He actually had been at a number of companies, but had really good experience because he had what we were looking for in the VP was we were looking for somebody who had you know, real hands-on experience with development, and he did. Now, his background was that, you know, the past couple of companies that he had worked for were cleared, or, you know, you needed clearance. So he had to keep things, you know, top secret or whatever. We advised that, now our client wanted to hire this guy, and we, you know, we're like, yeah, that's great. But then we found out some other stuff about him, we found out that, you know, he had never graduated from college, and, you know, but our client still wanted to hire him. And then not to mention he actually didn't want to sign off on a background check either, and that raised a red flag for us. Now, our client still wanted to hire him because they were desperate for a VP of engineering, but we advised against it, you know, it was a big fee. It was about a $40,000 fee for us, and, you know, we just kind of advised them, don't do it, and, well, they ended up hiring him. He was there for 2 months and just kind of ransacked, not even ransacked. He basically tore the department to shreds, you know, just a lot of, just didn't fit the culture. And that wasn't anything on our part because we had, you know, although we had recruited him and recommended him along the line, down the line, we had found out some stuff and let them know about it. And we wanted to pull the candidate, but they wanted to go forward with them. I guess they liked him enough, you know, in the beginning for them to hire him. And, you know, needless to say, I was able to actually keep my commission on that guy, even though he was only there for 2 months. So that was, it kind of ended up being pretty good. So it wasn't bad, but that was he was a bad candidate though, in the sense that he lied on a lot of things. Not the best candidate that I've had.
What's your favorite interview question? Your silver bullet. Give it up. Come on. Share the love.
My favorite interview question. What do you consider a good company culture? And you'll be surprised. Well, no, I don't think you'd be surprised because a lot of people, you know, are I think they get kind of they get when they hear company culture, they think about the Googles and the Yahoos out there and the Zappos, you know, that kind of company culture. But, you know, every time I ask that question, you know, they're more often than not, they're telling me – they're not telling me about culture. They're telling me about perks. There's a difference, right? So, you know, that's my favorite question to ask. You know, so when someone tells me, like, you know, hey, it'd be cool to have like free lunches and ping pong tables. And it's like, that's not really the answer that I'm really looking for. You know, the answer that I'm looking for is I want good management. I want great team members. You know, so I think a lot of people get that I think a lot of people get company culture really, really twisted, which is pretty sad, but
well, most company cultures are twisted, so there's a, you know, there's an oddly accurate response, right?
Yep.
So I'll tell you the one question that we, you know, over hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and close to 1,000 interviews that I think completely, and people can quote me on this, completely fucks people up, is what inspires you? That is one of those questions that I think people just are like, wow, that is, I don't know. I mean, that literally, we get the biggest pause of every question we've ever asked, for me anyway, that I've ever asked. That's the biggest one that it's like, I don't even know where to go with that. That's, you know, it's very interesting. So that's the DTHR Brian Wimpen, like, stumper right there. So
that's
ask it to you because
– that's a great question because I asked that question too, and you're right. A lot of people do get stumped on that question. It's pretty.
Yeah.
I don't think people think about that very much, you know. My answer to that would be, you know, what inspires me? My family inspires me, you know, to be, you know, the guy that I am, and just kind of helping people. You know, that's how my dad's been. He's always helped people out. So that's kind of my main thing.
Nope, and that's a, you know what? It's not a complicated question. So it's I like that you had a good answer. So, Mike, hey, man, we're out of time, ran a little bit over. Thanks for coming on. Great conversation. Thanks for opening up the lunch pail for lunch. We'll see about getting you on later in the year, folks. We're out of time, so we've got to roll and roll quick. See you later.
Fantastic, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Ben.
In a German beer, uh-huh. With a Cuban cigar, uh-huh. In the middle of Paris with a Dominican bar, uh-huh. Great head on her shoulder, uh-huh. She probably studied abroad, uh-huh. She transferred to Harvard, yeah. From King's College in Martin, uh-huh. She says that I'm her favorite cause she admires the art.